listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, episode 423.
Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, the podcast that is designed for female entrepreneurs who want to make more money in a way that is in alignment for them. If you're looking for practical advice, proven strategies, and expert insights to help you navigate the challenges of growing your business, then you've come to the right place. Welcome, my friend. I am your host, Angela Henderson, a proud Canadian living in beautiful Australia, and I'm a business coach, consultant, and strategist who has helped thousands of women around the world build successful businesses. Through solo episodes and interviews with successful business owners, industry experts, and thought leaders, you'll get insider insights into what it takes to succeed in today's digital age. Whether you're struggling to scale your business, looking for ways to boost your productivity, or seeking ways to overcome the challenges of being an entrepreneur, this show has everything you need to succeed and more. So subscribe, pop your headphones on, and get ready to creating the business and life you deserve today by allowing the Angela Henderson Online Business Show help you create a winning strategy, develop the right mindset, and build lasting wealth. Hey there, you amazing human, and welcome back to an awesome podcast episode with me, your host, Ange from Angela Henderson Consulting. And today we are diving into a powerful, real, and deeply needed conversation about resilience, both in business and in life. And to help us unpack this incredible topic, I am super excited for the amazing Sonia, also known as the Search Queen, who's just released her brand new book, The Search for Resilience, Awaken the Warrior in Business and in Life. Sonia's story is one of grit, courage, and transformation, from overcoming abandonment issues and self-doubt to navigating a grueling, and I mean grueling, fertility journey, and then going on to found one of Australia's most in-demand Google-accredited digital agencies, The Search Republic. Her journey is the definition of resilience in action. Today, Sonia's here to share how resilience is not just about surviving challenges, it's about mastering your inner dialogue, breaking harmful patterns, setting unshakable boundaries, and leading with love, strength, and authenticity. So in today's conversation, it's going to be Sonia and I jamming it out, where we're going to talk about what resilience really is, how Sonia built her warrior spirit, the daily rituals that has kept her connected to her strength, the role resilience has played in scaling her business to national success, and so much more. So whether or not you're feeling stuck, facing big challenges, or just ready to step into a more powerful version of yourself, this episode is going to inspire you to dig deep, fight smart, and rise higher. So without further ado, welcome to the show, Sonia.
Hey, Sonia, welcome to the podcast, my friend.
Hello, my love. Thanks for having me again.
I'm so excited to have you here today. And I was thinking about this podcast, and with the release of the new book that just dropped yesterday, it seems like we've known each other forever. But when I actually started looking at like pen to paper, I was like, we've actually really only been connected since mid last year. So it's funny when good humans come together to do good things, and you're just such a delight to get to know, and to just see you continue to shine has been nothing but breathtaking. So I really appreciate you being here today and sharing your wisdom with the crew.
Oh, thank you so much, love. Well, I'm a firm believer in sisterhood is everything, because when women come together and support one another, we're an unstoppable force, you know. So I also equally appreciate having you in my corner, because I love everything that you do and what you stand for, my friend.
Oh no, well, thanks so much. Now, before we get all soppy and people need tears, we will focus
I love you more.
No, I love you. Today's all about resilience. And I think this is so critical for business owners in order to scale their business, but also their life, because you can't do it in isolation. But before we start into the topic of resilience, I really just want the audience to get to know you, because they might not know who this amazing human is. So in a nutshell, tell us a little bit about Sonia and what you get up to most days.
Wow. I'm like, I wear many hats. Let me tell you, I'm the biggest, most proudest role of all is I'm a mama to two beautiful girls. Sage is 2 years and 9 months, toddler. Mm-hmm. And then we have Willow, who's 8 months. So I have two very small little girls. So I'm a mama, very proud one of that. I'm a fertility warrior. Mm-hmm. So it took me a very long time to get my girls and a lot of inner work, which we're going to talk about today. I'm also a keynote speaker, a CEO of in-demand Google accredited agency, also known as Sonia the Search Queen, because of my passion for Google. And now I'm an author. So I'm just like, man, I've just an awful lot of hats that I'm wearing right now. And I'm here for it all. What I do every day is predominantly run my agency, show up on my personal brand, and honestly, just spread magic in the world and just be the most truest, authentic version and shine the light and then inspire other people to do the same.
And that's what I love about you, because when I read, obviously there's a lot of noise on Instagram and on Facebook, but when I read your posts, there's something a little bit different about it, because you do lead with the heart and you lead with love, and that comes through. It's not, you're not just ticking a box, you're telling a story. And I find that your posts are few and far between, and that I stop to read them, not just because I'm friends with you, but because I'm like, I'm actually genuinely curious about what you have to say. And that is what I think so many people could be picking up on. I mean, that's another podcast for another day, but that's what I love about what you bring to the table, is not just ticking boxes. You generally care about people, you care about scaling their business, but also you just like to treat people with kindness. So that's such an amazing thing to be able to have, especially when you scale at the capacity you do. Sometimes people lose that inner wisdom.
Oh, thank you. That honestly, I really felt that in the heart. So that got me all in the field. Honestly, with my content that I put out there, honestly, I do try to just stay in my own lane. Like, I think there is, as you said, a lot of noise out there, and there's a lot of blind leading the blind and following people and comparing each other to one another. But like, honestly, we're not meant to blend in. We're meant to stand out. So if you start following what other people are doing, you're never going to be unique. So everyone has their unique gifts. And I feel like when you own them and embody those, people feel that and people want to see different stuff. So if you can bring all facets of yourself to the forefront, you connect more with authentically with people. I just wanted to speak to that. So thank you for.
Absolutely. Authenticity is something that it's a word that I feel gets used so often, but very few people know how to sprinkle that into their world. And that's something that you do really well. And that's where, again, I believe that the resilience that you probably have today comes from so much of that awesomeness. And so speaking of resilience, just to ensure that we're all on the same page and those that are listening to this particular episode, in your own words, what is resilience?
For me, resilience is building that muscle, that mental muscle to withstand life's toughest battles. Because the reality is, usually when we step into the war zone, we kind of want to get out of it and run from the pain as quickly as possible. But my book and what I've learned in my lifetime is that we need to train ourselves to stay in the shit and see what the lessons is that life is trying to teach us, because we are always being guided to become the best version of ourselves. However, people seem to think that people get lucky, and that's just not true. I believe that we make our own luck. And I feel that people also need to realize this, that nobody gets out of life unscathed. We are here for a spiritual experience. We're not here just to exist. And life is going to be hard the more you don't take control. But if you can actually just stand back and be an observer of your own life, and see what challenges you're being presented and why you're being presented, that's where the magic happens. If you think about anything that might happen in your life, it never makes sense when you're in the shit. And when you're surfing the drain, you're like, fuck, this makes no sense. It always makes sense when you look backwards. And I feel like over time, when you go to the gym, you're building your muscle to withstand all the weights. The same applies in your mental resilience. Like, you do have to get your brain into the gym. That mental resilience is something that we all need in a world where our control is very much been handed away by people not even been aware. The subconsciousness even that comes with scrolling on socials, and how much energy and power we give away to the media, to everything. Like, it's about time that we actually stand up and actually take control and take responsibility for ourselves and our, I suppose, the path and the mark that we want to make in the life, in this lifetime. Because I feel like life is a gift. And I know that's true, because I think having my girls was ultimately the most humbling spiritual experience I've ever went on. And I'm a 100% self-confessed hippie. I don't dress like a hippie. I'll tell you that now. Like, I will froth on like the most woo-woo shit you can imagine. I genuinely believe that part of our spiritual existence, people aren't tapped into that enough. And if they were, I don't think we would see half the problems that we see in the world today.
And listen, you're speaking my language. That's why we started the Healing Center of Australia, is that we, Grant and I, or my partner and I who own the business, is that we believed heal people, hurt people, hurt people.
100%.
And there's not enough healing in the world that works for individuals. It's either do this or do this. And there's so much growth that comes not just from a human, but what you can give to your family, your community, and the knock-on effect from it when we heal. And so you're speaking my language when you speak about frothing on this. I too have pink nails as we're speaking. I wear hoodies and I'm in sweatpants at time of recording, but I'm very much also into the spiritual space myself. Now, but why do you think then, based on what you've just talked about, why do you believe that resilience is one of the most critical skills for both business and life?
Because business is war, firstly. And business is the ultimate personal development journey you will ever go on. Mm-hmm. And it is honestly a blueprint of what's happening in the mind. Mm-hmm. So the chaos that you're seeing that shows up in your business is just because of the limiting beliefs you haven't fully mm-hmm. processed or broken through to the next level. So you need to be able to be a warrior in business, because some days you're like, fuck this, I want to blow the whole thing up. Mm-hmm. And other times you're like, hey, get back in your box now, Sonia, and be humble. What's this trying to teach you? You know, where have you missed the lesson? Where have you been ignorant? Where have you tried to think you knew better? Mm-hmm. And start using the lesson as a means to humble yourself and teach yourself and guide yourself out of the chaos. And in life, for me personally, I have not had it easy. Like, I've went through life from my childhood years, like going through a lot of tough shit, to be honest. Like, I've also had a very rough time in school. I was bullied a lot. I was threatened that people were going to beat me up. I had rumors spread about me. I had basically every type of imaginable bullying that would happen, right? But the thing is, if I look back on that, at the time, that was actually trying to build me to the warrior that I am today. Because that, if those moments in my childhood didn't actually happen, I wouldn't have a point to prove to make something of myself. I've made peace with all of that. And it's interesting now, because obviously the book's about to be launched. I have all those tricky girls that were nasty to me in school all pretending now that we're all best friends. So it's actually fucking hilarious. But anyway, we smile and we nod and we take it as a massive compliment. But at the same time, the only person's opinion that really truly matters is the opinion you have of yourself. Where I came from growing up in a small town, it was a crime to love yourself. And I kind of, I suppose for me, always looked that bit different, because I didn't look very Irish, because I'm half German, half Irish, surname is Polish. Yep. So I had a lot of like jealousy. I was in the papers a lot. So for me, I was like that target of, oh, your one loves herself, she's up herself. And this is conditioning pattern that I adopted, thinking it was crime to look differently or whatever. That, do you know what I mean? So I kind of like, in essence, felt that self-love was a crime. Whereas what I know to be true after all of the conditioning that I broke throughout my healing journey is that actually it's not about external, it's about the internal way you feel about yourself, and the connection you have with self is where the magic happens. Like, I don't love my kids more than I love myself. And that's something for anybody's listening, like, whoa, that's a big statement. It's a fucking true, because reality speaking, kids will mirror out what they see their parents doing. So if they see mommy like looking for validation in all the wrong places and looking for people to love on me, they're going to go out into the world insecure, and they're going to end up having the same fucking patterns of conditioning and the same lessons that I never got. So for me, getting these lessons and me making peace with that inner war and that inner trauma, it means that my children don't have to learn the lesson, because kids will always do what they see, not necessarily what you ask them to do.
And that's where you also start to break down some of that. You talk about the conditioning and even generational patterns within family. I don't know that about your family or whatever, but there's always something. So by us taking that and loving ourselves first, even though people will say we're selfish or insert whatever, we actually are doing so much more good, again, not only for us, but for our generational patterns, but also for societal. And it takes a village, as they say, and I know it's a very cliche, but it does. It takes a village to change people. And it's stories like this that will help to get women to speak up for themselves. I know when we were in Canada a few weeks ago, my daughter, who's 12, was playing basketball with all the nephews. So they're in my son, and there's no girls in this particular age bracket. And I remember something happened. One of the boys threw a punch to someone else and they were on the ground. Chloe said, I did use my voice, mom, that they needed to change and they needed to do this, but they didn't hear me. And so I said to the boys, you have an obligation to listen to what a female is saying, just like they have an obligation to listen to what you're saying. And I said, Chloe, never stop using your voice. Never, never, never. I said, and if you don't get heard from them, you go and seek and get help from other people. And so even at this young age, I too am trying to build that resilience for my own daughter and for my son, but also allowing them to use their voice, even in a societal way that most people will repel or say that they shouldn't be speaking.
Completely. Well, the thing is, if you think about it, and I'm so glad you used that example, because I do talk about it a bit in the book, is that from the minute kids go to school, they're in uniforms, there's rules in school, sit down, be quiet, teacher sits at the front, don't disobey. There is this kind of like conditioning that we're all meant to conform to one, be all the same. So anyone that stands out gets reprimanded. And that's why I feel that so few people stand out and say how they truly feel, because they're afraid of looking like the person that's standing out, but you're meant to stand out. This is what we're here to do. The thing 100%. Is, we live in a society that's full of systems, mm-hmm. and it's meant to keep you small. If 100%. People tapped into their true capability and what you're here to do, this world would be an absolutely incredible place to be mm-hmm. a part of. And but the thing is, everything's in balance. You can't have one without the other. You know, the peace that we have within, we're going to have the war outside. That's just a reality of one side of the planet being dark, the other side of the planet being light. What goes up must come down. Everything's in balance. And I think what we need to look at as well, these challenges that we come up with in a lifetime, they're designed to bring us into balance. If we go start chasing the plus, plus, plus in every situation, we're lopsided. Because mm-hmm. it's going completely against the energetics of the human experience.
I want to talk a little bit, because what you've just talked about is kind of leading into this, is like this voice, this mm-hmm. spirit. Inside of the book, you often reference the warrior spirit. And mm-hmm. so I'm curious to know a little bit more about that, because I do think it actually blends and leads gently to where we're going. So tell me about, what is this warrior spirit that you talk about in the book? And how is developing resilience similar to building the spirit of a warrior? Quick question. Have you ever spoken at an event, felt amazing, got great feedback, and then absolutely nothing happened? No leads, no bookings, no new clients, just applause and then absolute crickets. I see it happen all the time. Not because your talk wasn't good, but because most talks aren't built to do anything. That's why I have to tell you about Booked in 20, a powerhouse workshop created by my friend Jacqueline Brooker, who is a certified speaking professional and founder of Any Given Tuesday. Jacqueline has helped hundreds of entrepreneurs turn 20-minute talks, such as panels, guest spots, networking events, into 4, 5, and 6 figures revenue. And this workshop unpacks her full framework. So whether you speak often or know you need to start speaking, this will help you turn your voice into a serious business tool. She normally charges $100 for this particular workshop, but she's joined up with me to give you the opportunity to access this completely free. Just head to the show notes at angelahenderson.com.au, click on podcast episode 443, and you'll be able to access this workshop absolutely free. And watch how your next talk changes everything.
Well, if you think about it, a strong warrior has all of their armor and they have their marks from war, their scars from war. But again, I truly feel that as a warrior myself, a fertility warrior, I think the warrior for me was very much unleashed true fertility. And I realize this because I'm very connected to my gut and intuition. I'm just a bit of a weirdo. I can like my fingers on the pulse. I know what shit's about to go down. Yeah. I read people's minds. I'm just a bit of a lunatic at times, but it's a gift. So like for me, the warrior archetype really dropped in my fertility warrior journey. And it was the case of, wow, I am this incredible fertility warrior that I can withstand the most like craziest of complications and still come out on top with two beautiful girls. And I made that commitment to myself in 2020 to say to myself, if I ever come to the other side and have the honor of becoming a mom, I've got to share my story openly. So for me, I'm not attached to my journey. I feel like I went through that journey because it needed to be shared with the world at large because of the person I've become and the catalyst being fertility to make me become this warrior that was just asleep for all these years and didn't know that all of my demons and my own inner darkness needed to come to the light in order to attract the frequency of a soul to come into this lifetime for me to guide them as their mom.
And when you think about the warrior spirit that you developed and you go back to the analogy used about building the muscle, can you share a personal ritual or maybe a daily practice that helped you and potentially can help the listener out there to stay connected and start to build their own warrior spirit and continue to build that muscle?
Yeah, absolutely. I turn my phone off when I'm not in book launch mode from 7 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock the next morning. To be honest, like I think anyone I've ever spoken to in business like that kind of are stuck in the trenches. A lot of people get stuck with waking up and the first thing they do is check their phone. For me, I'm all about Marie Forleo's philosophy, create before you consume. So get in touch with yourself first. So like for me, I'd listen to Tony Robbins' meditation in the morning. And I would also listen to Joe Dispenza meditation in the morning to really create a solid foundation for my day ahead, because you can't pour from an empty cup. And then connect with my girls, connect with my family, and then I'll turn on my phone when I'm ready to see what everybody else has going on in their world. But I think if we are checking our phones before our feet hit the ground, it's a very dangerous territory. So we haven't even fully like fathomed that we're like back in our body after being in fucking la la land asleep. I think we do need to remember that phones are part of our life. However, you need to have strict boundaries around your phone. We have strict boundaries with our phone around our relationship as well. Like our phones go into the night, into the separate room when we're having a conversation. Kevin picks up the phone and starts scrolling when I'm talking to him. I'll stop talking if and vice versa.
Yeah.
Because anyone that you're talking to and they take out their phone and scroll, you're inadvertently telling that person that phone's more significant than you are.
100%.
And the same even around our kids. If my children want my attention, like you don't scroll because you're making them feel like that they're less than your phone.
100%.
You know, and it's about being aware of these small little things and how much of an impact that they have. And for me, I have a love-hate relationship with my phone. I hate my fucking phone, but I fucking need it for business.
Yeah.
Like I'm a massive fan of digital detoxes. I'm a massive fan of not having any roles or any people like commenting and telling me how great I am. I'm very much a very grounded, humble human being. I don't have a big head. I try to keep myself in check. I try not to get ahead of myself. Even with this book launch of the book, the amount of people have been asking me, oh, how do you feel? And I'm like, honestly, I still feel myself, but I also am notorious for jumping onto the next goal. So I'm making it my business to ground myself in this whilst also grounding myself in soaking in the moments of the precious time that of my 8-month-old and my 2 years and 9-month-old that is changing before my eyes.
And that presence is a big thing. It is something that we're more connected than ever before, but more disconnected than ever before. And some of the research that I've been reading recently is saying that within the next 10 years, some of the medical conditions that rank 1 to 10 for the reasons why people are dying, it will actually be loneliness will be the number one killer because people's relationships are getting further and further apart. And I actually also saw the other day, it was probably one of the best videos I've seen done in a long time, is there was two couples facing each other. And the presenter said, take one step back if you have your phone at the dinner table. And then it said, take one step back if you reach for your phone first thing in the morning. Take one step back if you haven't had date night in the last month. They went through all these questions. And obviously, if you can vision it, they're miles apart from each other. Like literally, like when you saw the video footage, they're like at least probably a half a kilometer, I should say, not miles, half a kilometer away from each other. And like, they're just like crying because you can't take that visual out of your brain when you see that. And then he said, but take a step forward if you'd be willing to work on your relationship. Take a step forward. And then they come together and they're like, okay, what do we need to do? So obviously they still have to do the work. They've got to build the resilience, whatever. But it was a beautiful imagery to show how disconnected people actually are. And they're taking for granted so much of the people around them. And someone who's just come back from seeing my dad with stage 4 cancer, being in those moments are things you'll never get back. And I also think with our children, the greatest goal I can have in my life is for my children to still want to be with me when I'm old. And that's on me to show up now and make them a priority. Not saying that they're my end all be all. Like you said, self-love. I love myself first before anyone else, but they will remember when I had an opportunity to be with them or not be with them. And that will go into our future. And we can't then turn around and complain when we're 50, 60, 70, 80 saying, well, why are my children don't have nothing to do with this? Because we didn't make them a priority. Now, I know slightly off topic, but let's kind of come back. I know your agency does very, very well. It's one of Australia's top Google accredited digital agencies. I want to know a little bit about what did resilience play in growing the business to the level that it's at and to the level that it's going to?
Thank you for asking. Honestly, resilience and the agency and all intertwined, it comes down to my values. I don't really compromise on my values at all because who I am as a person, trust, respect, loyalty, and integrity. If you cross me in any of those areas of life, I'm like, you're out. It's kind of where I'm at. And my industry is very corrupt with people promising the world and not delivering. I'm very transparent that you can't make promises on Google because Google changes the rules 5,000 times a year. We have proven strategies that work. Will they work for absolutely every client? The answer is no, because we don't have the guarantee that it will, because there's so many factors outside of our control. We very much take on clients that we feel we can work with. Honestly, if it all feels too hard, I just let clients go because I'm not in it for the money. I didn't sign up for this for the stress. I want us to be aligned and I want you to trust me. So again, majority of cases we do see is like people that have been burnt in the past and then they come to us and they're like, please, can we partner, whatever? And I'm like, grand. And then you could start seeing them showing up really defensively to begin with, because they're like, oh, and you can find them kind of trying to micromanage you and being a bit disrespectful and crossing your boundaries. And I call it straight away. And I'm like, it's like this now. I understand you've had a horrendous experience, but you partnered with me to put your trust in me. You have to know we've got your back. If you don't believe and trust that we've got your back and we're doing everything that we can, we're not meant to be here. You can't move forward and put your skin in the game knowing that we've got you in safe hands. It's never going to work. It's like any relationship. If there's no trust, it's not going to work. So I think that's what's probably echoed through my personal brand as well, is that I don't matter if you partner with me or anybody else. Me, first and foremost, you kind of have to come to the party upholding similar values. Otherwise, we're never going to get on. I worked for agencies where they never said no. They were just in it for the money. And I was the person on the front line trying to manage unrealistic expectations and make and manage these false promises that aren't even possible. Google can't even make the promises. And honestly, for me, I was just like, I just can't do this. I love what I do. The thing is, what lights me up the most is clients that might be coming to us and they're really struggling to get leads and they've lost all faith in all marketers, and then heard me from somebody and they're like, oh, I really hope it works. And then we drive them leads and their business has boomed in that month. Yeah, for me, like, that gives me goosebumps. That's the reason why I get up in the morning. And this is the reason why I keep doing it, because honestly, agency land is one of the toughest industries, marketing industries you can ever. Marketing in general, it's one of the hardest, but specifically agency land, it's one of the hardest industries you can be a part of. And what keeps me showing up is my why, which is like to help business owners work smarter, not harder, so they can spend more time with the people they love the most and they never have to worry about where their next lead or sale is coming from. Obviously, I'm in the game 7 years, so I'm very much centered on why I do what I do. So even in those tough moments where business can be fucking hard, I'm like, I come back to why I started the business. It is also to work around my kids. And then I have to weigh up, I could never work for somebody else again.
I can appreciate that. I think I would be a hard no for getting hired again at some random place. But yes. Now, speaking of what you just did about going back to the reason why that you support the people so that they can spend the time with the ones they love and not have to worry about a lead and a sale. With those business owners that you work with, but obviously also with being in business yourself, what's the relationship between resilience and a direct correlation of those that are successful? Is there? Is there not? What are your thoughts?
Honestly, I don't really have clients that are victims.
Yeah.
And when you're a victim, you're not very resilient, because we're playing the pity party. I honestly, anyone that comes to me blaming every person as to why shit isn't going the way they want it, and people that don't take responsibility, not, they're just never going to be my clients. And I just don't have the energy nor the capacity to want to entertain that. So for me, that's my boundary, really. And it's not really my job to call people on it. That's their journey.
But would resilience you say, though, in your experience, though, that there's just a direct correlation? Those people 100%. Who are resilient are more likely to be successful.
100%. Again, business is war. You can either play the Mickey Mouse hobby business. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but if there's a reason why your business isn't growing, it's because you're blaming everybody else why it's not growing. Take responsibility and charge forward. The thing is, what people forget is that business is 80% mindset. If your mindset is woeful, your business will be woeful. Mm-hmm. Take responsibility, look inward, look at what the business is trying to show you, what lessons it is trying to show you, and your business will boom. Trust me.
No, I love it. And listen, I too, personally, as a business consultant, have seen years after years after years, the more that resilient muscle is built, it is a direct correlation with success. Time and time and time again. Now, do you think, though, you're born with resilience?
Absolutely not.
Or it can be learned and strengthened over time? What
it's
are your thoughts?
Learned. It's learned, 100% it's learned. But again, it's kind of all comes down to the power of choice. So you can either step up to the challenge or don't. Everyone has free will. But I do believe that we have many options and many choices in life, and we can either choose to stay small or we can choose to expand and be expansive and majestic. It's kind of what feels good for you. But I think it's also coming back to you making the decision from a place of what truly feels aligned for you, not what other people think. Again, when you do things that are new, your ego is always going to try and keep you small, but every decision I make always comes from a gut reaction, always, because I have a great relationship with myself. And I said, I think the ultimate goal in this lifetime is that we become our own best friend. When we do that, the outside world becomes so much more easier.
I agree. And it's just one of those things, though, that again, it can be scary. It can be overwhelming. But I tell you, when you get in there and you shed those tears and you create that space of harmony, whatever that looks like for you, there is so much goodness that comes not only from just scaling your business, but the relationships around the people around you. There's goodness there. Okay. Oh, often we'll put that to the bottom of their to-do list. Oh, I'll just chase one more lead. I'll chase one more this. And again, I believe there's a direct correlation that the more inner work you can do, the success will naturally come because like attracts like from an energetic level.
Totally. It's a good segue because in 2020, speak about plant medicine in the book. I've done many plant medicine journeys, but I stumbled across magic mushrooms. Now, I've never taken any set of, like, hallucinogenics, even mainstream, like, or even a party setting, that I would just be terrified because I wouldn't be able to be in control. But this, for me, felt like the only option after spending hundreds of thousands in personal development work. For me, it just felt like the necessary next step to have my children. Not only did that open a whole floodgate of the inner demons I still kind of had buried and suppressed, what it also meant in 2020 was that my business actually went gangbusters from doing that work. It went mental because it was like, okay, I've started to have that domino effect. I wasn't quite ready there yet with the first fertility side of things. But if I come back to my why as well, and why I set up my business and to work around my kids and all of that, that's the main priority of why I do what I do. I work from home. I have an office, but I like decide to work around my kids so I can be present. I got exactly what I asked for, just not in the package I expected. I was told, okay, get in line, grow this motherfucking business and the kids will come after it. Because let's face it, if I fell pregnant straight after my wedding, which was when we started trying, I wouldn't have the business I have today. I'd be able to give the life to my kids, because if I didn't have the fertility journey, there's no way he would have guided me to unleash all of these like shackles that were holding me back in this lifetime. I was never meant to be a watered down version of myself. I was here to shine. This is my path. So I can show my kids that they can also do the same.
No, I love it. I love it. And that's what having you here is showing people, that we can have hard times. But like you said a couple of times, is it's your choice. And one of the things I say often is nobody's fucking coming to save you. Whinge and moan. Uh-huh. And if that's what you choose, that's okay. You but then don't bitch about it. It's you are only, when I asked my ex-husband for the divorce on Christmas Day back in 2021, nobody was coming to pack up my belongings. Nobody was coming to sort out the financials. Nobody was doing that. It was a decision that I had to make, and I had to back myself in order for me to love myself. So again, nobody is coming to save you. Listeners that are wanting to connect with you, as of today, when this particular episode will be dropping around the world for my listeners, your official book will be out in the hands of hundreds and hundreds of people, which is The Search for Resilience. Tell us a little bit about that. Where can people buy it and how can people connect with you?
Absolutely. In the States, it's going to be available in Barnes and Noble. There's also Amazon link for UK and Ireland, Europe, Singapore, Japan. It's on Amazon. If you search where you are, which country, whatever you are at, go to your Amazon account. The Search for Resilience is there. If you do read it and you do get it in your hands, please give me a review. It'd be incredible. But also any of the major bookstores across Australia and New Zealand. So we have Dimmicks, Leebooks, WH Smith. And I think it's probably a very unique, that's a good segue for me to actually explain how the book actually met the bookstores, because most people that do write books and self-publish, they don't make it to the bookstores. Mm. But a twist of divine timing, my book publisher pitched my book idea to the head of Simon & Schuster, who is the main distributor of all the books globally. And they said yes to my book because the head of the distribution of Simon & Schuster actually had a huge fertility journey and said yes to my book. So it's really like by chance and divine timing that the book is actually in the bookstores and has the capacity to be in front of so much more people than as opposed to just Amazon. So it's huge. Like for me, it's a pinch me moment, but at the same time, I'm not attached to my story anymore. It's a book that's been a lot of courage, a lot of tears, a lot of pain in the pages, wrapped up in a bow, to really be the torch for the next person to not have to learn shit the hard way.
Dude, I love that. That gave me goosebumps. I love that the torch. And that's the thing is women were here to guide, right? To show and to love. And I'm excited for the listeners to be able to get access to the Search for Resilience. It is incredibly written. You're a powerful woman and more people need to hear this. So thank you.
And connect with me on Instagram, Sonia the Search Queen on Instagram. I'm always, my DMs are always open.
And before we wrap up, although I do like to ask our guests one final question. And that is, what do you know now that you wish you knew when you first started out in business?
Honestly, that I was going to be this successful. I think that there were so many moments of doubt in my earlier years, so much imposter syndrome. I just wish that I took action sooner than when I did. I danced around the idea of potentially doing my own business for a while because there were so many clients that had said it to me prior. And I just wish I believed in myself a bit more and started a bit earlier.
Yeah, I love that. Do you feel like that also comes with just like backing yourself?
100%. Yeah, I think you have to back yourself. You have to become your own bestie. If I became my own best friend back way, 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 I don't think I would have had the harsh lessons that I had to come up against.
No, I love it. It has been, as always, a pleasure being able to spend time with you, to hear your story, to hear your wisdom. And I can't wait for more people, like I said, to get in their little hot hands to Search for Resilience. It's a book that is needed across the world to guide and to enlighten others. So thank you so much for your wisdom. I hope you have a beautiful day. And here's to an awesome book getting in the hands of many, many people. Much love, my friend.
Oh, thank you so much, Ange. Love you, darling.
Thanks for listening to the Angela Henderson Online Business Show, www.angelahenderson.com.au.